on Saturday. All right, let's do it. Let's take the break here. Keep this train on the track, or in this case, the streetcar. It's a little rainy today. Tina and I were going to streetcar down into the Garden District, but not if it's raining. Well, maybe we'll save that for tomorrow. At the races, at the Jazz and Heritage Festival. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 17th.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
All the things you say.
We're back. Hour two, top of hour two, and Sid Fernando joining us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And the first order of business, the new puppy. Tell everybody about the puppy.
thanks, Steve. Yeah. Last Friday, we got a rescue puppy. And I'll tell you what, she's just unbelievable. And she's 8 weeks old, and I can't stop smiling.
Wow. Well, I love it. I love it. What did you name it? I missed that.
Her name is Gina, because the rescue people that had her, they were calling her Regina, and we kind of liked Gina better. And since she was used to that Gina part, you know, we kept the Gina. And she's, like I said, she's 8 weeks old. She's going to be 9 weeks old this Friday. We got her last Friday. And, boy, I mean, she's just, both for me and Cynthia, I mean, it's just, you know, we can't stop smiling because she's such a joy. And she's going to be a big dog. She's half lab and half what's called the Catahoula leopard dog. It's only from where you are right now, actually in New Orleans, in the Catahoula Parish. That's where this breed comes from. And it's, you know, so she, you know, she figures to be about 70 pounds. And the funny thing was it was a litter of 10. And, we, you know, we actually liked her the most, and she was the runt. Some of the other puppies were even a lot bigger than she is. But, yeah, it's great, and the cats are really tolerating her really quickly. And it's keeping me up because I got to get up every few hours at night to let her out. But,
it's like having an infant.
Yes, it's very, very, very similar to that. Some days she'll go, you know, like we put her down at 9:15, and then I only have to, sometimes it's like I wake up at, say, 3, and then again at 6. But last night, boy, every 2 hours I had to let her out. But it's worth it.
I love it. Well. Enjoy and years.
Thank you so much.
Years of happiness.
I appreciate it.
I love it. A couple of things, and we could maybe fold in the weekend as part of a conversation that started yesterday morning. And I know you didn't see the thread or the tweet, but I put up the numbers, the Stars of Tomorrow card from Churchill last November, and
right.
Travis Stone had an interesting response, and then I had Travis on, and you know, there's going to continue to be a lot of discussion, Sid, between now and Derby about, you know, the fact that this group seems slow. I mean, certainly, and Travis even made the point based on data that he's been compiling that the Phillies are historically slow. And I made I sort of posited the concept that, you know, there's been such a direction for breeding because of the demands of the marketplace, how sellable classic distance horse, right?
Yeah.
That you know, these are not pedigrees. These aren't even middle distance pedigrees. You know, where you know you're going to get some precocious horses that are fast enough early to win, you know, the futurities and the spinaways and the hopefuls, you know, races like that. But it, for the most part, that these are slower developing pedigrees, and I you know, maybe you fold that in. I mean, certainly Lord Miles is a interesting, maybe start with the wood, because here's a Curlin, and as John Secura says all the time, if you want a classic distance horse, Curlin's your sire.
Yeah, you know, it's so absolutely true, and I did a column in TDN a month or so ago, or maybe 2 months ago, with Todd Pletcher talking about the Curlins. You know, and how you don't as he said, you don't rush them off their feet. A lot of them aren't going to show speed, but what they are going to do is show stamina. And you have to let them, they're going to come around at three, and, you know, you got to give them some time. So, you know, what I'm struck by this year, a lot of good horses, we're seeing just a few starts as they're starting to develop. And if you go, let's talk about Lord Miles first, homebred horse by Curlin out of an AP Indy line mare, which is just dynamite for Curlin. You know, Curlin with AP Indy, that's stamina on top of stamina. And those types of horses, and if you looked at a bunch of the Curlin big time horses last year, they are kind of bred on that similar cross as well. And, you know, they're really built for a mile and an eighth and above. They come around a lot slower. They can't be rushed, as Todd Pletcher said. And you see a similarity in the wood with Lord Miles, and as he's coming around, as he did in the Saturday Night Derby with Skinner, another son of Curlin. Also bred the same way, by the way, on that Curlin AP Indy cross. And you know, you've just got to think that these a colt like Skinner and a colt like Lord Miles, you know, they're bred to do what's happening right now. They're getting that mile and an eighth. They're getting more age on them, and that's why Curlin always has horses that seem to, you know, win or place in classic races. And you know, you saw that with the fillies last year, Malathat. Her full sister is Julia Shining, another Curlin that's ran a great race in the Ashland. All of them just starting to percolate right now, and it's a combination of time and time and distance. And the timing, the older they get, the more they start to come around, and as the distances get longer, the more they start to show. You can say the same thing, you know, for a horse like Tackett, one of the top horses in the country right now. I mean, not right now, I mean, been for a while, but you know, look at the Belmont Stakes winners that he's had, right? And Tappet Trites, again, a horse that is short on speed, has taken some time to come around, again, trained by Todd Pletcher, by the way. And, you know, he's again, positioning himself for the classics. In contrast, take a horse like Practical Move, who was much more accomplished as a two-year-old than these other horses we just mentioned right now. Practical Move is by Practical Joke, an Into Mischief colt. The Into Mischiefs are the horses that show early, brilliant at a mile, mile and 16th, maybe start to see some chinks in the armor at a mile and an eighth and above. Of course, you know, Into Mischief has been bred to a lot of stamina mares lately, and that's what, you know, we saw two Derby winners by Into Mischief in Authentic and Mandaloon. So a lot of these, even precocious stallions like Into Mischief, for example, they are being bred to more and more stamina mares. So even those stallions are coming around later. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
When he first started out, you know, he wasn't being bred to those stamina mares, and he was showing his main forte, which is the speed, right? But now they're stretching out more too. So lots of horses are stretching out more because people want, you know, the Derby has taken center stage, and everybody wants to win it. That's why there's this big point system and, you know, huge interest. It's really the motor of the business. And everybody is interested in the classic horse, like he said from the beginning. And so even the speed sires are being bred to more stamina. The stamina sires are being bred to more stamina, curling with AP Indy. You know, so, and also the way the game has evolved, you know, all the big trainers are, you know, targeting these horses, it seems, more and more for early spring campaigns rather than two-year-old campaigns. And it, even the colt, going back to the wood, that ran third, Dreamlike, off a maiden for Todd Pletcher, again by Gunrunner out of a Tappet mare, that's Dreamlike, you know, he got beaten by two very good Bill Mott colts. Arthur's Ride, who was highly touted early on, son of Tappet, by the way, and then the last time out by that other colt, I forget his name, first time starter, beat Dreamlike. And then he comes back in the wood and gets beaten the nose and a head for everything, right? Todd Pletcher's King's Barn by Uncle Mo. Again, only three starts to him. These horses are not only being bred to stay, but they're coming around later, because when you breed horses to stay, they inherently mature later. And so the trainers are playing with what they have. And that's why you get a lot of horses that are promising horses that are popping much later than we had earlier in earlier years. Bob Baffert has a different program. You know, a lot of his horses are honed. They've got three times more workouts than anybody else's horses. They're really honed. They come out and pop big figures. And California figures are inflated, you know. Let's face it. And but they pop big figures out there, and you don't get, and Chuck Simon and Barry Spears and I always talk about this, they come out with a 90 buyer first time out, and then it's incremental increases, right? Take a horse like Hit Show for our clients, Gary and Mary West, a homebred by Candy Ride out of a Tappet mare, bred just like Dreamlike and on that great cross. When Hit Show made his debut last year at Keeneland, got a 57 buyer, and they later upgraded it to a 60. Okay? And look at the progress he's made, in much bigger jumps in progress than, say, the Baffert horse that runs a 92 buyer and then gets a 94 maybe. Hit Show's gone from a 60 to a 92 in a matter of, I think he's had five races now. He won three out of four going into the wood, heavy favorite. Now he's three for five. But his last two, you know, so you can see that kind of maturation, right? There's a confluence of stuff that are leading to these later starts, maybe slower buyers as we start the year on. But your original thesis that there's a lot of stamina in play, it's absolutely, I think, on the mark, because the Derby point system rewards that to these guys. You know, all the 100-point races are these mile and an eighth races right before the Derby. And so it just happens to fit the type of horses that are being bred specifically for these targets. So it's not just one item or one thing. It's a bunch of moving parts that all fit together. And, you know, people on Twitter discussing this stuff, you know, they may talk about one thing and another guy might talk about another and she might talk about this, but they don't understand, perhaps, that they're all interrelated.
I'm looking at Lord Miles, and I had thought that who's somebody else that's got the Unbridled Song mare, but Majestic Warrior by AP Indy, Seattle Slew Line, etc. And then on the female family, you know, there is a couple of places here. The deputy minister, what is it, 3x5? Deputy minister, sheriff's deputy, Curlin's dam, and then deputy minister, the sire of Sunset Service, the fourth dam, Lady Esme's third dam. Dixie Union in here for an injection of speed. The second dam, come a calling, and Horse Chestnut, the South African presence. This is a nice, you know, he's pretty heavily inbred. He's 5x5 with Northern Dancer, Mr. Prospector, 3x5. I already mentioned Deputy Minister, but there's a nice mix going on in that female family.
Yeah, but the main thing with these Curlins that the potency of a lot of these Curlins, besides a good female family like this colt has, is this cross with AP Indy, the Nick, and the inbreeding to Deputy Minister. One of the things that anybody who's observed a lot of the good Curlins will note is that Curlin has an incredible affinity for deputy minister inbreeding within the family. And, you know, let's take a look at last year's Derby winner. He was sired by Keen Ice. Okay? Keen Ice was a colt that our client, Jerry Crawford of Donegal Racing, purchased at auction. Jerry only wants severe stamina horses for the classics, for example. So when he buys, we have to always look at not only, you know, he bypasses a lot of good colts we've shortlisted because he wants those stamina horses. Well, if you look, if you pull up Keen Ice's pedigree, you're going to see a very close inbreeding. I think it's 3x3 in his case, or maybe it's 3x4 to Deputy Master. He's a son of Curlin.
There it is.
And is it 3x3 or 3x4?
Here it comes. It's 3x5.
For Keen Ice?
Oh no! Oh wait a minute! No, I'm sorry. I repeated. I repeated Lord Miles. I wanted to keep Lord Miles on the screen. So so let me here. Let me do a little Keen Ice action, and there he goes. Bink. All right, come on, you. All right, Deputy Minister, 3x3.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and that when we were looking at that mating, Curlin with that 3x3 Deputy Minister, it was one of the things that we highly recommended to Jerry for distance and stamina. And of course, Keen Ice beats American Pharoah in the 10 furlong Traverse. Heavy on stamina. Had a running style that, you know, lent itself to stamina. And then what does he do? He gets a horse very similar to him in Rich Strike, who comes from dead last with a great pace setup in that Derby to win. And so last year's Derby winner was by his son of Curlin. Curlin figures in the spring classic races, whether you're a filly or a colt. And when you have certain elements in those pedigrees, they tend to even stress it even more. Lord Miles has this with this deputy minister component. He's got it with the AP Indy cross with Curlin. He's also got a hell of a nice pedigree, because even though his dam Lady Esme was unraced, she's a half sister to Caledonia Road, the champion 2-year-old filly, and as well as two other stakes winners, Officiating by Blame and One of a Kind by Lemon Drop Kid. You know, you mentioned Horse Chestnut. The third dam is by Horse Chestnut. That's an infusion of stamina as well. Horse Chestnut, South African horse, ended up standing for a short while at Claiborne. And, you know, it's a great pedigree. It's a pedigree that's really you know, a classic pedigree if anybody were looking at it. Of course, this colt didn't sell because he's a homebred.
You mentioned the Wests, and I just want to go back to my stake page. And who was it?
The West. Two heartbreaking losses for the West. They lose the Ashland by a head with previously undefeated Punch Bowl making their third start. You know, an Uncle Mo Philly bred to stay. And then the next day they lose the Wood by a nose with Hit Show, who I think was a little short for that race. Brad Cox hadn't run that horse in like 2 months. You know, and I think for Brad, you know, he did the same thing with Instant Coffee and he got burned with points.
Right.
And he did this with Hit Show and he almost got burned. If Dreamlike finishes second, Hit Show is not in the top 20.
Yeah. No,
it's similar, by the way, both the rides on Punch Bowl and Hit Show, very similar. Flavio Pratt with, you know, inexplicably doesn't go to the front in a race course at a distance that's configured to help a front runner, gets trapped on the rail, has to wait to find room, and then by the time he does, he finishes a head short. In the Wood, Franco, you know, obviously has the break from the way outside, push the colt up, you know, probably closer than he wants to be, and then of course had some traffic issues, got some bumping in between horses and finished second beat in the nose. I do want to say the figures, you know this, I think the buyer was what, 92 or 93 for the Wood?
Yeah, 93.
But that track is so deep and so slow. You know, it is, it's, and that race was an incredible test of stamina. And the three horses that were bred for stamina, Lord Miles, Hit Show, and Dreamlike, were the ones that ended up at five lengths ahead of everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
That was a test of stamina.
And we've made the point, in fact, it's come up a couple of times already this week, Monday, Tuesday, the that Hit Show, people are going to be dismissive of this and of the Wood, and there's already, you know, this dialogue about the Wood being unproductive toward Derby, but I mean, that's so silly, because if Uncle Mo and Escondarea, if they both make Derby, you know, who knows? They, you know, they were both probably the best of their generation. The Hit Show in particular, I think you're going to want to examine and you know, we'll see how everything comes together between now and, you know, and Derby draw. I did want to mention as well, I mean, you can touch on the other, you know, the other two, Tappet Trice and or maybe Verifying, probably, because we've already talked about Tappet Trice. So maybe a quick Verifying mention. But I did want to say, and I got the chart here somewhere, where's my Santa Anita stuff? That Awfully Naughty is a West, right, that won the Whittingham for Michael W. McCarthy.
Well, you're going to laugh at this, because I was talking to Gary after the race. I was texting him and I said, Gary, you lose the Ashland by a head with an Uncle Mo. You lose the Wood by a nose with a Candy Ride. And then you're the breeder of a grade two race with a Flash Act.
Yeah.
That's some kind of game.
Right? What can you tell us about this? You know, and Flashback has had some isolated success. This is out of an Awfully Wild mare, which is kind of interesting. What went into this mating?
You know, I'd have to go back and look at it, because, you know, when we do our matings, it's a very thorough thing. But, you know, it's all these matings that we do for the Weston, other clients, you know, we spend a lot of time on these pedigrees. And in the case of Flashback and even New Year's Day, they were very, both New Year's Day and Flashback stood at the Hillendale, very inexpensively, obviously. And, you know, the Wests, who had been big yearling buyers at Keeneland, wanted to start breeding, supporting their young homebred horses. So, we either selected some mares in their broodmare band or suggested some purchases at the sales. You know, for example, we suggested the purchase of the dam of Maximum Security used by New Year's Day. Likewise, we did the same thing with the Flashback the mare that went to Flashback that produced British Idiom, which Eclipse Champion.
Right.
However, in her case, what happened was we did that mating, and then they sold the mare in foal to Flashback. So the person who got the mare and foaled the mare was the official breeder of British Idiom, and the Wests weren't. But that was, again, another case of a mare that we had specifically chosen for both Flashback and New Year's Day. So the Wests actually were the people who planned the mating of British Idiom, even though they don't get credit for it. But again, another Flashback, you know. And Flashback, of course, is on the tapping. It's ironic that sometimes people, like I said, the West have been big yearling buyers, but sometimes people don't realize that their breeding program has really started to come alive. And actually, since Gary has gone through, this Maximum Security stuff, not only the DQ with the Derby, the issue in Saudi Arabia with no purse, and then the Jason Service disgrace for him. He just really lost his appetite for the sport in a way, and they have not been buying yearlings the last few years at Keeneland, and so all the success we're seeing this year, which includes, by the way, West Will Power, one of the top older horses in the country. Punch Bowl is certainly one of the better 3-year-old fillies in the country. And Hit Show, he's going to go to the Derby. Those they still own, but of course, this Winningham Winter Flashback, they sell horses when they're not interested in they're not interested in turf racing. They're not interested in sprinting. But just think about this. Over the last few years, they've had Eclipse Award winner Game Winner, Eclipse Award winner West Coast, Eclipse Award winner Maximum Security, and they bred Life is Good, who in most years would have won an Eclipse Award. It's a hellacious home breeding program that they have.
Very much.
Yeah, and I'm just proud that we're a small part of it, to assist them with it. And it's funny because some insiders who know about our involvement with the West, they've been like, trying to solicit us to do their meetings. We only have the capacity to do a limited number because it's like a boutique operation. So unfortunately, we have our retained clients, and we take how do you say it? It's a food terminology. A la carte. a la carte. Clients for matings of singles here and there, that we work around our retained clients, but it is it is kind of nice to know that people within the game that are cognizant of this understand that, you know, sometimes when you actually do some planning and thought process into it, you know, you can have some success, and the West breeding program is certainly an example of that.
You know, just looking at specifically at Awfully Naughty, and that is an interesting, female family. Acting Naughty by Awfully Wild, Maria Berg by Langfuhr, who you know, kind of is a an interesting stallion who can get turf, he can get milers, you know, that the kind of his shtick. Marienberg, who was a conquistador cielo. So there's plenty going on here. This is a 4 year old that yeah,
becomes five, right? Or is it four or five?
Hold on, let me see. Because I know he's an older horse, right?
Uh-huh.
He is five.
Yeah, because I kind of remember this. This was a mare that was purchased specifically for to support their stallions. And Acting Naughty, I think Acting Naughty was purchased maybe in like 2014, and then, you know, they sold the mare later, you know, for like $20,000. Just that, you know, just to get the support of, just to use her to, and the West will do that. You know, they'll Ben Glass, their racing manager, you know, he'll buy, well-performed mares, that will go to, you know, support some of these stallions, and then they'll sell them. They sold a dam of Maximum Security as well, if you recall.
That's right.
But in the case of Acting Naughty, don't forget they also had a third stallion at Hill and Dale by Pulpit. So Pulpit is the sire of Tappet, and so there was the son of Pulpit that the West had there was Power Broker. So they had Power Broker there, they had Flashback there, and so this particular mare, we had analyzed her, and she fit a lot of the elements of Power Broker and Flashback. So I believe she was bred every other year, maybe Power Broker 1 year, Flashback. I'd have to go back and look, but I think she was bred. You know, they bought her in, say, 2014, so they would have bred her that year, maybe to Power Broker, and then maybe the next year to Flashback. You know, alternating. It's kind of how I recall it, but don't hold me to it. And then they sold her, you know.
Well, let me slip in one more. I've actually got a follow-up question about the West that you, but I do have to get to Mark Cassie here as well. But Sid, let me plant that seed. I want you at some point, and we probably actually have a couple of weeks between now and Derby. The follow-up question, you said that the broodmare band effort, paying dividends, and I want you to talk about how long it took to do that, and the process, because the time actually is, in another month, the breeding season will, 6 weeks, the breeding season will wind down. And some people make decisions on mares. You know, they're having a chance to see how their babies look, etc. And I want you to maybe address those kinds of decisions, culling mares, and you know what would be worthwhile. And maybe there's somebody to bring in with you with this, because I'm. thinking about this myself, in terms of covering mares now with the intention of selling in the fall.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
something
yeah.
we've never discussed. And that's, you know, there's some decisions now that probably can be made, you know, where people are saying, you know what, I'm gonna call this mare out of the band, and who do I cover to make her attractive? And a lot of that probably has to do with the quality of what she's produced up till now. Do you overbreed a mare like that to make her attractive? You know, in terms of maybe a first crop stallion that's going to be. You know,
that's a great topic, and it's so funny because I was just talking about that yesterday with a client.
There we go.
That very same thing. And what happened was he bought a mare at auction, and the mare, she was carrying her second foal, but when he bought the mare, he knew that the mare's first foal had died. Well, it's a risky proposition, and I hate buying mares like that whose first foals have died, because if for some reason the mare's second foal dies, you're buried, okay? And guess what happened? This guy's second foal died. So now he's got this mare with her produce record is two dead foals. And of course he wants a color, but, you know, in his particular case, he had been planning on breeding her pretty high up, and now he doesn't want to invest a huge stud fee in. So what's the strategy here now, right? So he himself understands he's got to go to a lower stud fee. Okay, so you go to a lower stud fee, but yeah, you do go to a first crop sire, because those horses tend to be attractive.
Exactly. And, commercial appeal.
Exactly. So now you're breeding on a commercial appeal. You know, when we did a broodmare compatibility analysis for him, for that mare, so it turns out that five of the stallions that we had noted were at 30,000 or less. He had been planning on going to like a 45 or 50,000 stallion in there, but now he can go back and look at the five stallions that range in stud fee from like 10 to 30 and still choose a good mating, but a lower investment now into that mare to let her go, but a first crop horse so that there's some appeal.
Yeah.
Very, very good question.
Now, we'll do that. We'll do that next week. I love it. And then finally, very quickly, verifying, here's Justify, and out of a repent mare, Diva Delight, who was a very nice, got very good as a three-year-old, Diva Delight, for, I want to say, David Vivian, I think.
David Vivian, the trainer?
I think so. Yeah. She got very good in the winter as a 3-year-old. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know what happened to her. This is the first. I think this is the first foal that I've ever noticed of hers.
Well, she's a Grade 3 winner, and of course she was bred by co-bred by Hunter Valley Farm. Fergus Galvin and Adrian Reagan, who do a terrific job. You know, they actually raise Mo Ray, that Uncle Mo Grade 1 winner, and they're, of course, Hunter Valley is a big consigner, top consigner in the business, and so this was co-bred by them with an entity called Mount Malik Farm. And of course, Verifying was purchased by MV Magnier, 775, as a Keeneland yearling. Keeneland September yearling. So, you know, it's first crop of justified, verifying, was second last year in Champaign, wasn't he?
Yeah, and this is, you know, this, did they go to, was Midnight Bizu, would she have been, I guess she might have been established by then, right? That they would go to justify. Let me go to the produce.
How's Midnight Bizu related?
That's
here?
The half, right? That's the half sister.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Midnight Bizu is definitely
yeah, would have been established by then, and because I'm trying to pull up produce record to see who else she's been covered by. Diva Delight. Here, let me. I love American Produce Record. I use it constantly. What makes me nuts is being asked to do the Prove I'm a Human. I mean, who else is going to be looking at the American Produce Records but a human? Honestly, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
No. Let's see. She went. They took her to Congrats twice, and they did not. Boy, this is an amazing cover record. Two Congrats covers, and then Midnight Loop. To get Midnight Bizu.
Mm-hmm. So Midnight Bizu would have been about five when they decided to read the mayor to verify to justify, or maybe four.
Well, 2019. So she had completed her 3-year-old year when they.
That's exactly right. That was a very very commercial pedigree, wasn't it, to do that.
And they got, and so they get arguably, I mean, obviously Bizu has got her own, you know, she's at her own level, but, well, actually, you know, that stage left is okay. And you know, what's funny that they went back to Congrats a third time. That's interesting. And after going 0-for-2 with the first two foals, stage left ended up being pretty productive.
Yeah.
They finally got something good out of the covers to Congrats. Then they went to Warrior's Reward and got Warrior in Charge, who's unraced. Then they went to Wicked Strong, Pioneer of the Nile, and most recently, Gunrunner. She didn't take with Medaglia d'Oro. Then she's got a Yearling Colt by Uncle Mo, and she's been bred to Gunrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's being bred to the top right now. Yeah,
but she, you know, she got her best with Midnight Loot, with a $15,000 cover.
Yeah, who stands at Hillendale?
At Hillendale, there we go. It all comes back to Alaska. This was great. All right, Sid, I appreciate it. I would go on. I knew we were going to have a long session, but I because there was a lot to cover, and I had those additional questions, and then things also bubbled to the surface. And you got a new puppy, so I mean,
yeah.
You know, what can we?
Yeah. And by the way, while I've been on the phone with you here, she's been asleep right between my legs here.
Aw, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep putting pictures up. Everybody loves the baby furries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks again, bro. I'll talk to you.
Tremendous. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale and, of course, Sire Watch. And we will do that conversation next week. We've never, I cannot, with all the conversations, 10 years of conversations with Sid, and I do not ever remember asking him about that approach, about if you know that you've got a mare, you're going to sell this winter, November, let's say, and there's other breeding stock sale on the calendar, but if you know you're doing that, the approach to take, and, you know, depending on their productivity up to this point, so... Case, I think I'm going to, I think what we should do is to segregate this. Let's take a second break slightly early, because I know Mark Cassie, I'll spend 25 minutes with Mark Cassie. We've got Jeremy Green checking in from the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing team, and Seth Merrow. And we're watching for Billy Stinson, just in case Billy turns up. Yeah, that makes sense, because otherwise it's going to get into like 11:20, and it'll, yeah. All right? Take a second break. We're coming to you from Fairgrounds. I my third trip here since February, right? February for RZA Star, March for HBPA, April for Tina's Vacation. I would like to find a reason to come back for May and then June. I got to tell you, I mean, I love it here. So Tina and I last night, because we drove out to Brightson's, which, you know, is at basically at the intersection there, the Garden District and Carrollton, you know, at the end of St. Charles and at the end of Carrollton, which I love that neighborhood anyway, with Oak Street. You got Giacchimo's and Bread on Oak down at the end. And it used to be Cowbell at the end of Oak, which was wonderful, but didn't survive the pandemic. But then we drove back St. Charles, you know, back down to the quarter, and it's just so, so gorgeous. I mean, the homes and you know, the neighborhoods, and you know, and even they don't have to be the fanciest neighborhoods. I mean, right around the racetrack, Gentilly, and Bayou Saint Jean. I mean, that's a fabulous neighborhood. It's just such a fabulous place. So I said to Tina, I said, could we, and she's of the towns, the southern climes that we visit, Savannah, which I would go to in a minute. I think she prefers Savannah, is sort of what we concluded yesterday. So that's, you know, I have to yield to she who shall not be crossed. Back after this, Mark Cassie is going to join us, and we'll talk about Papilio and how do you solve a problem like like Wonder Wheel seemingly, you know, having that 3-year-old Dalton problem. So we'll work on that next at the races. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare program.